31st, 1928. Today, I'm feeling a little worse physically, but I'm still taking part in a common life, prayers, meals, and recreation. I'm making great efforts, long to you alone, Jesus. In the refectory today, I do not think I will last until the end of the meal. Every mouthful causes me extreme pain. When Mother Irene visited me a week ago, she said, "You catch every sickness, sister, because your system is so weak. But that is not your fault. In fact, if any other sister had the same sickness, she would certainly be walking around. Whereas you, sister, must stay in bed." These words did not hurt me, but it is better not to make such comparisons with very sick persons, because the cup is full enough as it is. Another thing, when sisters visit the sick, they should not ask in detail every time, "What is hurting you and how does it hurt?" Because it is very tiresome to keep telling each sister the same thing about oneself. And it sometimes happens that one must repeat the same thing over and over many times a day. When I had gone to the chapel for a moment, the Lord gave me to know that among His chosen ones, there are some who are especially chosen, and whom He calls to a higher form of holiness, to exceptional union with Him. These are seraphic souls, from whom God demands greater love than He does from others. Although all live in the same convent, yet He sometimes demands of a particular soul a greater degree of love. Such a soul understands this call, because God makes this known to it interiorly. But a soul may either follow this call or not. It depends on the soul itself, whether it is faithful to these touches of the Holy Spirit, or whether it resists them. I've learned that there is a place in purgatory where souls will pay their debt to God for such transgressions. This kind of torment is the most difficult of all. The soul which is especially marked by God will be distinguished everywhere, whether in heaven or in purgatory or in hell. In heaven, it will be distinguished from other souls by greater glory and radiance and deeper knowledge of God. In purgatory, by greater pain, because it knows God more profoundly and desires Him more vehemently. In hell, it will suffer more profoundly than other souls, because it knows more fully whom it has lost. This indelible mark of God's exclusive love in a soul will not be obliterated. So everything God given us, you have to give account. He'll give you such grace and you're not responding. It's not that we are free, but you lose your love. You don't love enough. That's the pain for Jesus, hurting Jesus, when we are invited to love and we don't. Or not reject, but procrastinate. Not really with eagerness. The soul which is specially marked by God will be distinguished everywhere, whether in heaven or in purgatory or in hell. O Jesus, keep me in holy fear so that I may not waste graces. Help me to be faithful to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. Grant that my heart may burst for love of you, rather than I should regret even one act of love for you. So please expect us to open our soul always. The Holy Spirit is present. Anytime He gives us inspirations, the light, and we do not choose light, then we walk in darkness. Although we don't need a choice, but in fact, when you're reluctant to follow, that means you walk in darkness. Don't tell yourself, I don't see clearly what's the will of God. He shows us. Then, because we don't choose Him, then we don't see much. February 2nd, 1938, darkness of the soul. Today is the feast of the Mother of God. In my soul, it is so dark. The Lord has hidden Himself and am alone, all alone. My mind has become so dimmed that I see only fantasies about me. Not a single ray of light penetrates my soul. I do not understand myself or those who speak to me. Frightful temptations regarding the holy faith assail me. Oh my Jesus, save me. I cannot say anything more. I cannot describe these things in detail, for I fear lest someone be scandalized on reading this. I am astounded that such torments could befall a soul. O hurricane, what are you doing to the boats of my heart? This storm has lasted the whole day and night. When Mother Superior Irene came in to see me and asked, "Would you like to take advantage of this occasion, sister, since Father Andres is coming to hear confession?" I answered, "No." It seemed to me that Father would not understand me, nor would I be able to make a confession. I spent the whole night with Jesus in Gethsemane. From my breasts, they escaped one continuous moan. A natural dying would be much easier, because then one is in agony and will die. While here, one is in agony but cannot die. Oh Jesus, I never thought such sufferings could exist. Nothingness, that is the reality. Oh Jesus, save me. I believe in you with all my heart. So many times have I seen the radiance of your face, and now, where are you, Lord? I believe, and again, I believe in you. Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in all the truths which your Holy Church gives me to believe. But the darkness does not recede, and my spirit plunges into even greater agony. And at that moment, such terrible torment overwhelmed me that now I am amazed at myself that I did not breathe my last. But this was for only a brief instant. At that moment, I saw Jesus, and from his heart, he issued those same two rays, which enveloped me, whole and entire. At the same moment, all my torments vanished. My daughter, the Lord said, know that of yourself, you are just what you have gone through, and it is only my grace that you are a participant of eternal life in all the gifts I lavish on you. And with these words of the Lord, there came to me a true knowledge of myself. Jesus is giving me a lesson in deep humility, and at the same time, one of the total trust in Him. My heart is reduced to dust and ashes. And even if all people were to trample me under their feet, I would still consider that a favor. I feel and am, in fact, very deeply permeated with the knowledge that I'm nothing. So the real humiliation will be a refreshment for me. Many times we thought we are powerful, we are capable. Once you experience that kind of darkness, it's terrible, more than death. And that's what her experience. If I can die before death, this nothingness, just a short moment, it's okay. But lasting, so it's too difficult. But thank Jesus, He come to her, give her light. February 3rd, 1938. Today, after Holy Communion, Jesus again gave me a new directives. First, do not fight against a temptation by yourself, but disclose it to the confessor at once, and then the temptation will lose all its force. Second, during these ordeals, do not lose your peace. Live in my presence. Ask my mother and the saints for help. Third, have the certitude that I am looking at you and supporting you. Fourth, do not fear either struggles of the soul or any temptations, because I am supporting you. If only you are willing to fight, know that the victory is always on your side. Fifth, know that by fighting bravely, you give me great glory and amass merits for yourself. Temptation gives you a chance to show me your fidelity. So beautiful, eh? I read again. First, do not fight against a temptation by yourself, but disclose it to the confessor at once, and then the temptation will lose all its force. Don't fight on your own. Disclose it to the confessor. Second, during these ordeals, do not lose your peace. We are so anxious to get rid of it. Stay calm. Live in my presence. Then ask my mother and the saints for help. So Jesus doesn't walk by himself. He invites his mother and all his saints to give a helping hand. so many things. Many people thought, I have Jesus who is enough. We don't need the Holy Mary. We don't need the Virgin Mary. Jesus said, live in my presence, that's important. When you say the Hail Mary before the Lord, in front of the Lord, not that you just alone with Mary and nothing else. Jesus by your side. At the same with Jesus on the cross, his mother there, and he saw to John, this is your mother. Mother, this is John. This is your son. Jesus in the midst. So don't get confused when we say we have kind of veneration towards our Heavenly Mother. Jesus is by the side. Jesus is happy that we take his mother as our mother. But with Jesus. Third, have the certitude that I am looking at you and supporting you. You get times of temptation, you lose all the lights, you feel yourself alone. Nobody care. But Jesus says, no, I'm there. That's why you need to ask his mother also to keep a helping hand. Fourth, don't fear either struggles of the soul or any temptations, because I am supporting you. So at times you're afraid of temptations, problems comes in, we don't know what to do. Don't worry, I'm there. If only you are willing to fight, know that the victory is always on your side. Fifth, know that by fighting bravely, you give me great glory and amass merits for yourself. Temptations give you a chance to show me your fidelity. It's a chance. Don't be afraid. I'm with you, Jesus says. Stay with me. Stay with my mother. Share with the confessor. You are not alone. Because the loneliness is one of the temptations that you feel yourself, nobody cares, nobody knows, and then you just don't know how to solve and how to get the light. And now I'm going to tell you something that it's most important for you. Boundless sincerity with the spiritual director. If you do not take advantage of this great grace, according to my instruction, I will take him away from you, and then you will be left to yourself. And all the moments and the torments which you know very well will return to you. Temptation will come again and again. Just be assured that share with your spiritual director. It displeases me that you do not take advantage of the opportunity when you are able to see him and talk with him. So Jesus stay with her, but Jesus needs his people, his priests, to give a helping hand. It's interesting. Jesus is omnipotent, he can do anything, but he needs a man. It's the priest. They give a helping hand. It's wonderful. Know that it is a great grace on my part when I give a spiritual director to a soul. Many souls ask me for this, but it is not to all that I grant this grace. For the moment when I gave you this priest as spiritual director, I endowed him with new lights, so that he might easily know and understand your soul. This is a big gift. It's given by the Lord. I think this is Father Sopoko. So this is a special gift. You say, no, I'm not giving everybody the same. Oh my Jesus, my only mercy, allow me to seek contentment in your face as a sign of conciliation with me. Because my heart cannot bear your seriousness. If this continues a moment longer, my heart will burst with grief. You see that I am even now crushed to dust. And at that very moment, I saw myself in some kind of a palace, and Jesus gave me his hand, set me at his side, and said with kindness, "My bride, you always please me by your humility." The greatest mystery does not stop me from uniting myself to a soul when where there is pride, I'm not there. If you're proud, Jesus cannot come to you. It's evil. So God cannot stay with evilness. So many times we say we ask Jesus so many graces, but if yourself, your heart is attached to all so many human things and to yourself and all those vices, and you are telling yourself God is not helping you. He is giving helping hand, but he cannot, because you don't show his hand, the door is knocked. When I came to myself, I reflected on what had happened in my heart, thanking God for his love and for the mercy they had shown me. Jesus, hide me. They said, "You have hidden yourself under the form of the white host. So hide me from human eyes, and particularly hide the gifts which you so kindly grant me. May I not betray outwardly what you are effecting in my soul. I am a white horse before you, O divine priest. Consecrate me yourself, and may my transubstantiation be known only to you. I stand before you each day as a sacrificial host and implore your mercy upon the world. In silence and unseen, I will empty myself before you. My pure and undivided love will burn in profound silence as holy cursed. And may the fragrance of my love be wafted to the foot of your throne. You are the Lord of Lords, but you delight in innocent and humble souls." It's beautiful, the concept. Maybe the host, just like the priest hold the bread and consecrate, and this is my body. And she herself, imagine herself as a bread, being consecrated, and this is my body, become Christ. It's a beautiful idea. You know, we are the host. Many in the past we have don't get a concept of we are the tabernacle, keep Jesus in us. But today, as new insight, you are the bread, and being consecrated into the body of Christ, you are the body of Christ, not only tabernacle. So beautiful. When I entered the chapel for a moment, the Lord said to me, "My daughter, helped me to save a certain dying sinner. See the chaplain that I have taught you for him." When I began to say the chaplet, I saw the man dying in the midst of terrible torment and struggle. His guardian angel was defending him, but he was, as it were, powerless against the enormity of the soul's misery. A multitude of devils was waiting for the soul. But while I was saying the chaplet, I saw Jesus just as he is depicted in the image. The rays which issued from Jesus' heart enveloped the sick man, and a pall of darkness fled in panic. The sick man peacefully breathed his last. When I came to myself, I understood how very important the chaplet was for the dying. It appeases the anger of God. So beautiful, so powerful. I think that dying man, a kind of contrition, but so much sin before that the devil is covering him, doesn't show him any light to make his real contrition. I think he had contrition, but cannot express completely, only with the grace of the divine mercy. And then the devil away. We need not only for the dying, for ourselves also. Certain sense, we are dying. If we don't choose God, we are dying. We think you're capable, you're proud. So, when I was apologizing to the Lord Jesus for a certain action of mine, which a little later turned out to be imperfect, Jesus put me at ease with these words. My daughter, I reward you for the purity of your intention which you had at the time when you acted. My heart rejoiced that you had my love under consideration at the time you acted, and that in so distinct way, and even now, you still derive benefit from this, that is, from the humiliation. Yes, my child, I want you to always have such great purity of intentions in the very least things you undertake. This kind of purity of intention, purity to the glory of God, only the will of God. Do everything, little things, with perfection. And this is, as I took the pen in hand, I addressed a short prayer to the Holy Spirit and said, Jesus, bless this pen so that everything you order me to write may be for the glory of God. Then I heard a voice. Yes, I bless it, because this writing bear the seal of obedience to your superior and confessor. And by that very fact, I'm already giving glory, and many souls will be drawing profit from it. My daughter, I demand that you devote all your free moments to writing about my goodness and mercy. It is your office and your assignment throughout your life to continue to make known to souls the great mercy I have for them and to exalt them to trust in my boundless mercy. So she is the secretary, no? Of Jesus' divine mercy, not only on earth, but also in heaven. So we ask her grace today in a special way. We live like her, the kind of simplicity and purity of intention. Purely, only for the glory of God, for the will of God, only, alone, not for yourself glory. Oh, by Jesus, I believe in your words and no longer have any doubt about this, because in the course of one conversation with Mother Superior, she told me to write more about your mercy. That statement was very much in accord with your request. Oh my Jesus, I now understand that if you demand something from a soul, you also inspire the superiors to allow us to fulfill your demands, even though it sometimes happens that we do not receive permission at once and our patience is put to the test. So many times Jesus wants to do something, also inspired your superior or someone else, to encourage us to do the things Jesus not using, but give many things that she need. Jesus needs a helping hands. Oh, everlasting life, everlasting love, Jesus, you have enclosed yourself in the host, and therein hide your divinity and conceal the beauty. You do this in order to give yourself whole and entire to my soul, in order not to terrify it with your greatness. O everlasting love, Jesus, you have shrouded yourself with bread, eternal light, incomprehensible fountain of joy and happiness, because you want to be heaven and earth, to be heaven on earth to me, that indeed you are, when your love, O God, imparts itself to me. O great, merciful God, infinite goodness, today all mankind calls out from the abyss of its misery to your mercy, to your compassion. O God, and it's with its mighty voice of misery that it cries out, gracious God, do not reject the prayer of these earth's exiles. O Lord, goodness beyond our understanding, who are acquainted with our misery through and through, and know that by your own power we cannot ascend to you. We implore you, anticipate us with your grace, and keep on increasing your mercy in us, that we may faithfully do your holy will all through our life and the death's hour. Let the omnipotence of your mercy shield us from the darts of our salvation's enemies, that we may, with confidence as your children, await your final coming, that day known to you unknown, and we expect to obtain everything promised us by Jesus in spite of all our righteousness. For Jesus is our hope. Through his merciful heart and through an open gate, we pass through to heaven. I have noticed that from the very moment I entered the convent, I have been charged with one thing, namely, that I am a saint. Not only she, you too. When you come to Hong Kong, you have to tell yourself, Jesus want you to be a saint here in Hong Kong, as well as in the convent. It's the place where you sanctify yourself. Don't tell yourself, I'm not in the convent, so I'm dispensed from this. No way. You are called to be a saint. At first, this hurt me very much. When I had reasoned about it, I paid no attention to it. However, on one occasion, a certain person, perhaps Father Sopoko, suffered because of my sanity. I was very pained, and because of me, others can experience some unpleasantness. And I began to complain to the Lord Jesus, asking why this should be so. And the Lord answered me, are you sad because of this? Of course, you are a saint. Soon, I myself will make this manifest in you, and they will pronounce the same word, saint, only this time it will be with love. I remind you, my daughter, that as often as you hear the clock strike the third hour, immerse yourself completely in my mercy, adoring and glorifying it, invoke its omnipotence for the whole world, in particular for poor sinners, for at that moment mercy was opened wide for every soul. In this hour you can obtain everything for yourself and for others for the asking. It was the hour of grace for the whole world. Mercy triumphed over justice. 3 o'clock. Third hour. Either in the morning 3, afternoon 3. It's the time Jesus is passing, giving his life for us. My daughter, try your best to make the station of the cross in this hour, provided that your duties permit it. And if you are not able to make the station of the cross, then at least step into the chapel for a moment and adore in the Blessed Sacrament. my heart, which is full of mercy. And should be unable to step into the chapel, immerse yourself in prayer there where you happen to be, if only for a very brief instant. I claim veneration for my mercy from every creature, but above all from you, since it is to you that I have given the most profound understanding of this mystery. So, a third hour of the day, of course, when you sleep, you cannot do much. Some people, we have adoration here. Sister, you know that at 3 o'clock, we have adoration. If you are in the office, you can come down, adoration. If you cannot come down, just rest, stay a little bit. Of course, Jesus is asking for the way of the cross. If not the way of the cross, in this short moment, adoration of Blessed Sacrament. At least, that moment, stop the moment. Time out, 3 o'clock. When you clean, Jesus will give you pardon, will pardon you. You will just stop for 1 minute for Jesus. Get slowly, and then you remind Jesus that you what you're doing, make it slow, but with intention, stay with Jesus that hour. And pray for the world, pray for ourselves, pray for people you know. That's what Jesus is expecting. So let's pray this way.